Everyone and his dog appears to have been invited on Donald Trump's Board of Peace. Saudi Arabia, Turkey, Egypt and Morocco and a slew of other countries have accepted. But America's Western allies, France, Britain, Canada and Germany, are staying well away. If Trump's latest tweets had just been about Gaza, they would have been all too happy to join him. But this is about more than that. It's Trump's bid to install himself as CEO of the world, and he's treading on European toes. A Europe that shed no tears over Trump's kidnapping of Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro only woke up when Trump tries to seize Greenland, a piece of Denmark. In the rest of the rational world, what's left of it, the Board of Peace is read correctly for what it is, an attempt to sideline the United Nations. As far as Gaza is concerned, the Board of Peace is supported by a founding executive board, which is stacked full of people who denied a genocide was and is taking place in Gaza. People like US Secretary of State Marco Rubio, Special Envoy Steve Witkoff, Trump's son-in-law Jared Kushner, as well as folk like the Wall Street financier Mark Rowan, who bullied US universities into banning demonstrations in support of Palestine. These men support the most extreme and violent wave of settlement that Gaza and the West Bank has seen in its history. They believe in Greater Israel. They're doing everything in their power to establish Israel as a regional military hegemon. But apart from that, they're united by a profound lack of experience about the Middle East. The one person on the executive board who has experience of the region, if you call invading Iraq and unleashing a devastating 7-year civil war experience, is Britain's very own Tony Blair. Blair, however, represents no one but himself. The British government has been careful to make that clear by distancing itself from its former Prime Minister. In November, when Blair's name first popped up, I can reveal that Jonathan Powell, the current National Security Advisor and Blair's former Chief of Staff in Downing Street, lobbied actively against the nomination of his former boss. Blair has no position in the British government, and his activities on the board are as a private citizen. This puts Starmer, who has modelled his premiership overtly on Blair, in a tight spot. Starmer has praised Blair as a great leader who would make a huge contribution to the peace board, but has stopped short of endorsing him as Britain's representative. He could have done. After all, he had plucked another key Blairite out of retirement, Peter Mandelson, to become the UK ambassador to the US, before that ended in tears. Starmer could have done the same with Blair. But what stopped him? It certainly wasn't any qualms over Gaza, in which Starmer has faithfully followed in the footsteps of Joe Biden and then Trump at every turn to prolong the war in Gaza for 2 years until Trump called a stop to it. The Board of Peace will be supported by an executive board, each member of which will have a portfolio and real power over Gazans. Unlike a second executive board, which is confusingly called the Gaza Executive Board, which at the moment has little power. It does have people who know what they are talking about. Hakan Fidan, the Turkish Foreign Minister, the Qatari Minister, Ali al-Thawedi, and Major General Hassan Rashad, the Egyptian Intelligence Chief. But their job description is vague. The White House statement announcing the Board of Peace said that this executive body would help support effective governance and the delivery of best-in-class services that advance peace, stability and prosperity for the people of Gaza, which could mean anything or nothing. Turkey and Saudi Arabia's motive for wanting to stay in Trump's tent cannot be taken as signs of their acquiescence. Saudi Arabia remains deeply opposed to Israel, and this has little to do with love for the Palestinians. It's because it now regards Israel's attempts to fragment Syria and Yemen and install itself as the gatekeepers of the Red Sea and the Horn of Africa as a threat to its national security. The same goes for Egypt. Their collective plan is to keep a toehold in Gaza, and for that, the only guarantee of stopping Israel's ethnic cleansing will be Turkish troops on the ground, something that Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has repeatedly vowed to oppose. So this board of peace is looking increasingly like a board of conflict, in which the old issues will be fought out. Even so, Saudi is closely aligned to the Palestinian Authority and more hostile to Hamas than Turkey or Qatar are, but those divisions are down the line. To tilt the balance of power in Israel's favour, there are a gaggle of advisers, some with deeply problematic recent histories. Men such as businessman and rabbi Aryeh Lightstone, a staunch defender of the settlers, who is heavily involved in the creation of the Israeli-backed aid distribution mechanism, Gaza Humanitarian Foundation, at whose sites more than 2,000 Palestinians were gunned down by live fire. Right at the bottom of this pecking order are the Palestinians who will actually run Gaza itself. This is supposed to be a technocratic government, but only two of the names put forward by all the Palestinian factions made it onto the list. The most problematic character is the man in charge of security. Sami Nasman, a retired senior Palestinian Authority security officer, was sentenced in absentia by a Gaza court to 15 years in prison for inciting chaos and allegedly orchestrating assassination attempts against Hamas leaders. Nasman has been in exile ever since. It's unlikely he will return in the near future. With a cast of characters like these, what could possibly go wrong? Their first task will be to get the second phase of the ceasefire going. That's supposed to come about when Israel withdraws from the so-called Yellow Line, almost back to the old borders of Gaza, and Hamas and Islamic Jihad are supposed to disarm. But Witkoff put all the emphasis on disarmament. Failure to do so, he warned, would bring serious consequences. What, a return to war? There was not one word about Israel's obligation to withdraw from the Yellow Line, from which it has been advancing. It now occupies over 60% of Gaza's territory. Nor did Witkoff acknowledge over 1,000 ceasefire infringements and the deaths of up to 450 Palestinians since the ceasefire was signed in October. Blair's statement was similar. He didn't mention the word Palestine once. He said he did not want to reconstruct Gaza as it was, but as it could and should be. As dictated by whom? What authority does Blair, a private citizen, or Trump have to dictate how Palestinians should run their affairs? Jonathan Powell and the British state are absolutely right to put as much distance between themselves and Blair and his Board of Peace as possible. For the truth is that nothing will happen. The battle lines will stay as they are for the foreseeable future. For Hamas or Islamic Jihad fighters to disarm under these conditions would be tantamount to committing suicide. The siege will be maintained. Israeli forces will continue to occupy over half of Gaza, and no international forces will arrive to police this mess, and over 2 million Palestinians will continue to live out of tents. Blair was one of the architects of the policy of barring Hamas from the negotiating room while it refused to recognize Israel. That international pact was the basis on which Israel began its devastating siege of Gaza in 2006, when Hamas won the only election Palestine has ever held. To invite the same cast of characters who backed Israel's expansion to the point at which Gaza exploded onto this board of peace is equivalent of asking the Serbian leader Slobodan Milosevic, or Radovan Karadzic, or Radko Mladic, the ethnic cleansers of Bosnia and the architects of the genocide in Srebrenica, to negotiate the Dayton Peace Agreement. And as for Trump, the man doesn't even pretend to care about Palestinians, justice, human rights, or children dying of hypothermia in tents. Trump is a mafia boss, demanding respect and regular payment. In creating his gang of consiglieri and calling it a board of peace, Trump is trying to run the world as he runs America. He's a bully, and a bully in charge of the world's largest army and the Western banking system. And he just loves the way people bow down to his threats. If Trump's tactics do not intimidate the Greenlanders, nor the Canadians, they are unlikely to cower the Palestinians, who've seen off much more than just tariffs. They've suffered colonialization, international mandates, exile, military rule, separation wars, the demolition of their houses, the seizure of their lands, and now genocide, and they've kept their national identity intact. The Palestinian cause beats more fiercely in the heart of every Palestinian than it has ever done before. Palestinians will throw the Board of Peace into the dustbin of history long before the same happens to Trump himself.